Thank you, Mr. Turnblad, and welcome to everybody here. In a way, I feel like my message has already been given today. We've heard a lot of scriptures about the day, and I appreciated the messages from the first portion of the service earlier. So whether it's your first observance of this holy day, or you've observed it for several decades, it always seems to come more quickly every year. Just seems like the time flies by. And yet, in some ways, it seems like we always need more time than we have, too. We typically look at making changes in our lives during the spring holy days, around Atonement and Days of Unleavened Bread. But we also need to monitor our lives and our changes in our lives throughout the remainder of the year. We've heard messages dealing with God's Spirit, redemption from captivity and salvation. And we know we all still have changes we need to make in order to make use of that Spirit in our lives. The title of this message is Don't Stop Now. We've come this far. We've got to keep on going. How do we know what needs changing in our lives? We've been taught that we're not to compare ourselves to one another or to any other human, but that our only comparison should be to our former selves and, of course, to Christ, who is our chief example. In Philippians 2, verses 5 through 11, we read, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Now, our overall goal is to become more like Christ. I think we all realize that. And in this message, I'm going to caution you that there is one quality of Christ that we do not want to have. Does that surprise you or seem out of place? Well, you'll find out at the end of the message what I mean by that. In this brief message, I'll clarify that statement and hope that we can all watch out for it during the coming months. I'll talk about four steps. The first step is to look back. Consider how you and how each of us has changed over the past year. Just looking back on the past year, how have we grown? How have we changed? We're all different in some ways. In some cases, we've been actively trying to make changes or corrections or improvements, and we can notice results, and that's a good thing. Sometimes we don't see them so much in ourselves as we see them in others. We're changing the way we look at those around us too. And sometimes others may see changes in us that we don't realize. It's always kind of rewarding if someone comes up to you and says something, "Oh, say, I see you've done blah, 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 whatever during the year, and I really admire you for doing that." I'm not saying that's happened to me. It would be nice if it did, of course, but so let's look at these steps. The first step is looking back. And I'll continue that. As we continue through life, do we have particular goals we want to achieve? And are those goals realistic? If they aren't, we may need to refine them or break them down into smaller objectives. My own goals need to be the ones that are right for me and ones that are achievable by me. And every goal has to be defined in a way that allows me to know whether I've achieved it or made progress on it. And the same is true for each of us. If we make a goal, how are we going to know if we've made it? If we don't have some kind of measure where we can see how we've changed. We need our own personal goals rather than goals that might be right for someone else. So that's step one. Our overall objective is always to become more like Christ and to try our best to emulate his example. Step one was looking back. Step two, we need to look forward. Consider where we want to be by the Feast of Tabernacles, by the fall holy days. It may be tempting to feel like we can just relax now and forget about it until the time comes. But if we truly want to become more like Christ, we can't put things on hold and just slide through. If we've been working on particular changes in our lives, we need to continue working on them throughout the year. And I know that I need to continue working on changes that I'd like to see in my own life. And I also know that I'll need to continue working on them for the rest of my physical life. There are some goals I have in mind that I know just are not possible for me to do in this physical life, but that doesn't mean give up. It means keep working, keep them in mind. Whatever goals we set for the coming months need to be measurable. A common physical goal for many people may be to lose weight and get more exercise. You may hear people talk about that. Oh yeah, I've got to lose some weight. I need to get more exercise. But if our goal is just to lose weight, that's a little vague and not meaningfully measurable. We would need to state it as something like lose 10 pounds or 20 or whatever the goal might be, and to lose it by a particular time in this example. It's something measurable and something that we can keep track of and know whether or not we've achieved it. And just as this physical goal, our spiritual goals need to be specific and measurable also. Consider the fruit of the Spirit listed in Galatians 5:22. We know that verse. Galatians 5:22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control." Here's a goal that's destined for failure. Show the fruit of the Spirit during the coming months. Well, what does that mean? That's too broad. What particular aspect am I going to show? Is it love? Is it joy? Is it peace? Or what is it? Got to have a specific goal. And that broad goal is too undefined. How am I going to show it? I'm going to show love by whatever. I'm going to show joy in this way, peace in this way, or whatever aspect we're working on. And it's too unmeasurable. How am I going to know whether I've done it or not? I can look back and say, did I show joy? Or I guess so. Or love? I'm sure, yeah. But I am just trying to agree with what I thought I wanted to do rather than having a specific measure to know it. So we need to define our goal. Break it down. For example, if we were to set up a goal of kindness, of being more kind, we need to break it down into specifics, specifics that work for us. A sample goal for showing kindness might be to meet at least one new person each week or each month or whatever might be achievable, or to do at least one random act of kindness each month or week or whatever interval we think we could succeed at. Might have a goal to be friendly toward anyone who waits on us in a store or a restaurant. To resist getting angry at the driver who cuts us off, we can't be unrealistic either. I know that's a natural tendency. I feel it every time I drive to services or go back home. But if we have specific goals in mind, but then between now and the feast, we could be considering specifics rather than generalities. So that's the second step. Look forward. And the third step is to take stock regular intervals. Periodically, or as often as seems practical for whatever goal we have set, we just need to take stock of where we're at. How many people did we meet, if that was our goal? How many random acts of kindness did we do? Were we friendly toward others who we came in contact with? And how were our driving habits or attitudes, if that's part of our goal? So that's third. Take stock at regular intervals. And step four, make changes as needed. If we find we aren't on track with changes or goals we've set, then we may need to revise them or add different ones as appropriate. Now, these are all pretty basic steps, but the key is to be consistently aware of them and measuring our progress. The steps were, number one, to look back. Number two, to look forward. Number three, to take stock at regular intervals. And number four, to make changes as needed. So in this brief message, I've encouraged each of us to not put a hold on any progress or change we've been able to make in our lives, and to continue on with that change process throughout the coming year. Our goal is to continually become more like Christ. But as I said in the beginning, I've also talked about one quality of Christ that we need to avoid. And you may think I didn't tell you what that quality is, but it's what the entire message was about. Hebrews 13, verse 8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We can't have that be a goal in our lives, at least not at this point. That works for Christ, and we'll never be at that point in our physical lives to be the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's very easy to allow ourselves to coast along, but we can't do that. We can't remain the same, but we need to keep changing and correcting our lives.